A man called Jeremy Corbyn was elected leader of the Labour Party last weekend. He got down to business quite quickly. The Times informed us he was riding a Chairman Mao-style bicycle, as we know it, a bicycle. Corbyn quickly announced a shadow cabinet, which, depending on how you feel about it, had more than enough women, not enough women, too few women, Hilary Benn, insert own joke, and Lord Voldemort as shadow chancellor. He attended, though, the Battle of Britain Memorial, and I believe he's an avowed Republican, and stood, as I understand it, in respectful silence whilst people were singing the national anthem. But to some, that meant he was doing the equivalent of holding a photograph of the Queen naked with her skin flayed from her body, if you read some of the coverage. Now, my understanding is that it's not against the law not to sing the national anthem. It's not North Korea yet. Although, if Corbyn gets his way...
Well, I felt very sorry for him, because I thought he got all the way through school and all the way through his first job without anybody noticing that he didn't know the words to the national anthem. And now, finally, it's caught up with him. But what I want to know about respectful silence is, what would disrespectful silence look like? And how would we know whether the silence was respectful
or not? Well, I'll do it for you now. It'll work well on the wireless. So a respectful silence is this. And a disrespectful silence is this.
For those of you listening at home, so it's the same but naked.
I think it's his first week. We have to remember this is his first week, so he will have to answer some questions about some stuff at some point. But I did enjoy journalists trying to get answers, and he simply walked away and said, "These people are annoying me." I enjoy that. I quite like the press losing their minds at this precise moment in time, because they don't know what to do with him.
So one of the brilliant, isn't it? The press are so magnificently excited. They've gone so much off on one to start with. They've nowhere left to go, have they? By tomorrow, it'll be Corbyn now plans women-only gravity. Men are going to have to float into space and they'll be late for work. Corbyn Laden plans to make all pets Muslims. We spoke to Vera, aged 81. She said, "It's not fair. My hamster doesn't like going east. I'm not fucking late." And then the end are just amazing. He's not sung the anthem. That's all the efforts of the Second World War in ruins now. We might as well have Hitler here. It's all spoilt. He's literally gone up to every Spitfire and smeared dog mess over the cockpit. Literally what he's done.
I enjoy the fact that he turned up at Prime Minister's Question. He had a wee suit on, bless him, that was the colour of kind of Angel Delight. It
was it. Did you like the question? I like the thing of ringing round for questions and stuff. But I think it would work even better if he didn't sort them out beforehand, just had a big bucket and picked them out. Would the Prime Minister answer a question from Martha in Ipswich? Who would win in a fight between Godzilla and the Loch Ness Monster?
He'd have to end up reading out spam. He'd be like, "I have another email asking if you have any unwanted gold lying around the house."
Danny, have you had any personal dealings with him?
No, actually, it's interesting. Lucy Powell, whom he's appointed to his shadow cabinet, has never met him. And she said during the leadership election, "I've never met Jeremy Corbyn in the cafeteria or in the library." And even when he appointed her to the shadow cabinet, he did it by phone. So she turned up to the first shadow cabinet meeting as the shadow Secretary of State for Education appointed by Jeremy Corbyn, and she'd never met him. And
that's funny. It's like a blind date. He's bringing sex back to the House of Commons.
I'll meet you at the Portcullis.
Well, on the thing of the thing of how many women were in the cabinet, I love the fact that the Sun newspaper was very angry about this and called it a terrible blunder and all that. And I think, which is reasonable, because The Sun, if it's known for nothing else, it's for its unrivaled, determined feminist stance. Every day, page three has got some Mexican feminist poet. People campaign for it to stop, but no, they insist. Yeah. Andrea Dworkin, Maya Angelou, they're all in there. So, of course, you know, 16 out of 31, he promised half. So that's a different fraction from 16 out of 31, isn't it? He's already broken that promise.
You were at the thank you rally for him, were you, in Islington, Mark?
I was, yeah, yeah.
It was the greatest irony they didn't let you vote, because it was the first time you would have voted with the Conservatives.